We continue our scouting report today on Tyson Berry as we go to Colorado from Denver Sports 760. Drew Spivak joins us once again. Drew, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, doing great, guys. How about yourself?
Excellent, Drew. Well, it seems to be a yearly phenomenon in Colorado lately. Really good player, maybe at a contract impasse and likely on his way out of town. Stastny and then O'Reilly and now Tyson Berry, who's an elite offensive defenseman. His defensive game definitely is an issue. But what do you make of these contracts? How much of it is money and how much of it is a disagreement between the player and the coach?
You know, that's a good question. I think for the most part, a lot of it probably comes down to money at this point, because I feel like Tyson Berry would be a guy that would really thrive under Patrick Waugh, the way that Patrick Waugh's system kind of runs. I mean, I know we all watch the Avalanche and kind of say, wow, this team is really bad defensively, and they probably need to make some sort of adjustments to become a better defensive team. But for Tyson Berry's game, it kind of fits in perfectly playing under Patrick Waugh. So I'm not sure that has a lot to do with it. I think it generally, at the end of the day, it just kind of comes down to money and what Tyson Berry thinks he's worth and what the Avalanche kind of think he's worth, because I think we all know that the Avalanche have kind of their own internal salary cap, if you will, that they don't really want to go over that $6 million per year threshold. And I think Tyson Berry, with the way his game has improved over the last couple of years, he's become one of the top offensive players as far as defensemen go in the NHL. And so he's going to warrant a big-time contract. So hopefully these two sides can kind of find a way to find some middle ground. But, man, you're hearing all these rumors right now, and it's not looking too great for the Avalanche at this point.
Well, Drew, you know, Tyson Berry, the numbers back up the contention that he's one of the elite offensive defensemen. But the thing is, I don't see him as a $5.5 million hockey player, let alone six. You know, he wants to go from 3-2 to, he's wanting to almost double his salary. Is that what the ask is, or is that speculation?
I think that's speculation, but it's hard to say for sure because, I mean, everybody here kind of keeps things so tight-lipped, it's hard to really know for sure. But I know, you know, like you, I've heard that number thrown around, the $5.5, $6 million per year deal as well. And I think it was Jonas Brodin when he got his deal from Minnesota and the numbers that he got, I looked at that and said, uh-oh, this isn't good for the Avalanche. If Brodin's getting that much money, then what's Tyson Berry going to get out there from either Colorado or for somebody else, you know, in the NHL? And, you know, I'm with you. I don't look at Tyson Berry and see him as being a good enough all-around defenseman to warrant the type of money that he wants. I could see him probably in the $4.5 to $5 million per year range, but going up above $5 million, I think that's a big-time ask for a guy that really has a long way to go defensively. And I'm not sure he's ever going to be the type of guy that's ever going to really get there to where he needs to be defensively, because his one big weakness is, you know, defending against the rush. And, you know, playing here in Colorado, you tend to see that a lot where you're kind of playing in your own end, playing against the rush, and that's one thing he really struggles with defensively. But there's no question offensively he's probably worth that money. But all around, I'd have a real hard time paying him $5.5, $6 million per year.
And that's because of what he is in the defensive zone and really just his stature, because being 5'10", you're unlikely to ever play consistently against the other team's top big forwards.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, I think you look at him and you see a guy that would probably say, yeah, he's probably maybe a second pairing, or even maybe in a perfect world, you'd want him as a third pairing type defenseman, a guy that can play, you know, on the power play and provide you some sort of an offensive spark and not having to play big time minutes. But yeah, he's never going to be a guy that's going to play against the other team's best forwards night in and night out. He's never going to be in that top pairing and play, you know, 25 to 30 minutes consistently every single night. He's just not that guy. He brings a lot to a team, but defensively, he's not really getting there, and I don't think he's ever really going to be at that point.
What kind of young man is Tyson Berry? Is he liked in the dressing room, respected in the dressing room? Is he a mature kid? How would you characterize him? I do not know him.
Yeah, I mean, every time I've ever dealt with Tyson, he's always been fantastic. He's a guy that as a media member, you can always go to and talk to, win or loss, no matter what happens with the Avalanche on a given night. He's always a guy you can go and talk to, and he'll give you good, solid, honest answers. And I've always kind of gathered from his teammates, everybody talks highly of him, that he's a well-respected guy within that dressing room, even being kind of a younger guy. So I don't think there's any issues as far as that goes. It seems to me like everybody's had nothing but great things to say. And like I said, every time I've dealt with him, he's always been really great and really easy to deal with.
So let's say they're looking at trading him. Do they need a defenseman back? What would they be looking for?
I think they would have to get a defenseman back. I mean, you know, we talked about it so many times with this team and how bad they struggle defensively. And it doesn't seem like Patrick Waugh wants to change the way he sets up his defensive structure and plays the game, night in and night out. So I think you got to look and say, well, all right, they got to go out, and if they're going to get rid of a defenseman in Tyson Barrie, they're going to have to bring a top four defenseman back. The problem is, I just don't see how they're going to be able to do that. Teams don't want to give up, you know, really good, solid defensemen, which is what the Avalanche need. So that's where I think they could find a little bit of trouble here. And if they do decide to trade him, they may end up kind of losing the deal because what the return would be isn't going to be necessarily what they want, unless they want to go out and maybe package him with a Matt Duchene or somebody of that nature. I just don't see how they can come ahead and if they decide to go ahead and pull the trigger on a trade.
Can you see that possibly happening? Because you're going from significant trade with a movement of a player like Tyson Barrie, and I know you were just throwing it out as an example. If you're talking Duchene and Barrie, that becomes a pretty big trade no matter who's coming back.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. And, as far as seeing it happening, I mean, we've heard the rumors. We know that Matt Duchene was dangled out there at the beginning of last year, and now we're hearing Tyson Barrie's name out there, and it still wouldn't shock me to see one of them, if not both of them, move. But I think if from the Avalanche perspective, if they're going to do it, in order to bring a top defenseman back, that's going to be the only way you're going to be able to do it. You're going to have to package both of those guys together. I don't think you could trade either one of them separately and bring back the type of return that would really warrant even making that move. I mean, you know, we heard one that kind of piqued my interest, I guess, was, you know, when the rumors were flowing around about maybe PK Subban possibly being on the trading block before that July 1st no movement clause kicks in. I thought that might be something maybe the Avalanche could try and explore, because I think PK Subban would be a great fit here. But, you know, you're talking about Matt Duchene, a Tyson Barrie, and probably another high prospect for the Avalanche to even kind of get in that conversation if that were to come to fruition. So I think it'd be very difficult to kind of make that happen with both those guys, but I could definitely see it as a possibility.
Drew Spivak joins us from Denver. Now, Drew, you mentioned earlier how teams don't want to trade quality defensemen. I don't think there's any debate that Tyson Barrie's a quality defenseman, right? He's very good offensively. Yeah, he's got some deficiencies, maybe a little bit due to size, but he still plays a lot of minutes. And, contract ask is one thing, but that seems to be a reoccurring theme in Colorado. Players asking for it and management making this line in the sand and not going over, yet they're not getting, like, they got nothing for Stastny. To me right now, they got fleeced in the O'Reilly deal because Grigorenko and McGinn straight across might have been a win for Buffalo. Never mind you throw in O'Reilly in that deal for Zadorov, who's yet to prove that he's an NHL defenseman. Like, are Joe Sakic and Patrick Waugh, like, is their ego an issue in negotiations, or is ownership suddenly got a line in the sand when it comes to what they want to spend, and come hell or high water, they're not going over it?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I don't think we know the answer to this point in time. I mean, everything I've gotten from this organization is that, you know, the Joe Sakic and Patrick Waugh, they're running the show. I think ownership has kind of given them full cord to go and do what they feel that they need to do in order to make this club competitive. But I think when you look at the way this team is built, you know, in the $6 million kind of internal salary cap, if you will, it's not going to get it done if you want to stay competitive in this league, because, you know, this Tyson Barrie thing's coming up here, and what do you do with Nathan McKinnon? Because Nathan McKinnon is a restricted free agent as well, and he's going to be getting a pretty big little, you know, paycheck as well starting next year. So they've kind of put themselves in this little kind of restriction and bubble type thing, and it's definitely not a good thing. And, you know, you look at what happened with Ryan O'Reilly, and I agree with you. I think right now you look at that trade and say that the Avalanche definitely got fleeced in that deal. Yeah, there's still a ways to go. Maybe Zadorov becomes the player they hope he's going to be, and maybe, you know, Grigorenko becomes the guy as well. JT Compa, who's had a really good year at Michigan this year, was a part of that deal as well. But are these guys going to be elite-type players that Ryan O'Reilly could end up being with Buffalo and showed in his time here in Colorado? I think that's kind of the big question mark with it. But, It's gotten to a point where every year you're kind of going, well, all right, who are they going to lose this year? Who are they not going to be willing to pay? And the bad part with it as well is you look at Tyson Berry, he's got the same agent as Ryan O'Reilly does, and you wonder how that whole factor kind of plays into the negotiations with the Avalanche and what they're trying to do, and if there's any bad blood from that whole thing. It's just, it's kind of a whole mess, and it's sad that it's come to this year in and year out over the last couple of years.
Well, Drew, personally, I applaud GMs. Joe, if they want to hold the line and be responsible fiscally, I think in theory, that's to be applauded. The problem is there's always somebody out there willing to overpay. And if you are going to hold that line and you get pushed into the corner, you've got to try and get fair value back. And often you don't, because people out there are throwing you anchors knowing a player wants out.
Yeah, I know. I totally agree with that. And, you know, you look at what this team's done over the last couple of years, the way that they threw big-time money at Jerome Iginla, and they threw money at Francois Beauchemin, and, you know, they've given contracts to guys like Cody McLeod and Nick Holden, and, you know, the list kind of goes on and on and on. They haven't – when Sakic and Wah first took over, they didn't really spend their money very wisely, and I think they've kind of put themselves into this corner now where they don't – really know kind of how to get out of it. And I agree with you. I think it's best to see a general manager, you know, kind of do things and be fiscally responsible. I mean, you look at, you know, the way Stan Bowman does business up in Chicago. Yeah, I know it's a little different because you're paying Chase and Kane, you know, $10 million a year. And, of course, Keith and Seabrook are getting big-time deals. But it's a little bit different type of a situation. But it's just it's bad because the Avalanche have kind of put themselves in this position, and I'm not sure they know how to get themselves out of it. And I don't know if there's a way where they can get out of this, where they can improve this roster enough to be a legit playoff competitor in the Western Conference.
Well, especially in their division, right? That's the thing. They're in the toughest division in hockey right now, and you trade away your best offensive defenseman and don't get fair and good value back, you're just making your team worse again, like they did with Ryan O'Reilly. They're going farther away from the playoffs, not closer.
Yeah, exactly, and I think that's the big argument from a lot of Avalanche fans out here when this whole Tyson Berry thing came up. It's like, you know, if you trade away Tyson Berry, you're not making your team any better. You're making your defense worse. You can't afford to make your defense any worse off than what it is right now. This team is just kind of at a teetering point. It's like, what direction are they going to go? Because we've talked about this core for so many years now, but when is the core going to make that next step and make the jump up to be one of the elite teams in the league? And it's hard to kind of see that they're going to go that direction now. And especially, like you said, playing the division they're in, it's the most difficult division in hockey. It's going to get even more difficult because you look what Winnipeg's starting to do, and now they've got the number two pick in the draft, and they're going to go out and get Patrick Laine and get even better. It's just they've got such a big-time uphill climb. It's hard to see how they're going to make themselves better.
Well, Drew, it'll be an interesting next month because I'm guessing Tyson Berry, if he's getting moved, likely moves before the draft or most likely at the draft.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think if that's going to happen, that's probably going to be when it is. And you know, hopefully if it comes to that route, that hopefully the Avalanche can find a way to make themselves better, you know, at least in the short term with some sort of a move like that. But hopefully it doesn't come to that. Hopefully they can lock him up because Tyson Berry is one of those guys that – you want to have on your team, and I think you'd be better off in an Avalanche uniform for years to come.
Drew, we appreciate your time.
Anytime, fellas. Thanks for having me.